here. You know, actually, it's so good to be here that I actually cut my hair. One thing you should know about me is I only cut my hair when A, I'm going to see my girlfriend, or B, it's a very special event. So today actually happens to be both. So if you see my girlfriend and her family, invite her and say hey and welcome them. So I'm very excited. So yeah, I just want to restate, Harvest Festival is sick, and they only need candy. The cure is candy. I talked to Dan last weekend. We need about double the amount. I saw some more candy, but you know, if you think of Harvest Festival, please, candy, please. All right, so let's turn to Deuteronomy 5. Thanks, Siri. Siri's here today. It's a good day. Deuteronomy 5, starting in verse 1. And Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire. While I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare the word of the Lord, for you were afraid of the fire and did not go up into the mountain." And so, Lord, as we dig into your word, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and you would penetrate the hearts of everyone here today, Lord. God, we want you to be magnified. So give us a lesson. We want to hear from you. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can be seated. So, I like watching movies, and in acting, there's actually a methodology called method acting, and I decided, you know, I'm a pastor, I don't want to be an actor, but I wanted to get into the text and feel what it was like. So, not too long ago, I went to this place called Mission Peak. Some of you know it, some of you hate it, and I don't know why, I was just feeling like I wanted to climb something. And I started on the bottom, and first of all, there's parking was so hard to find. There's so much parking. I mean, people are crazy these days. And I started to warm up. You know, I'm stretching, drinking water, trying to buy time, trying to, you know, talk myself into it. And I see this group, this young group of teen college-age dudes, and I happen to notice, I like watching people sometimes, it's interesting, but I happen to notice there's three dudes in the front with just these cut-off tank tops. They call it bro tanks, but it was totally obvious they just cut it down like this, and they're trying to show off, you know, those guns. And they're talking all confident. And in that same group, there was a girl that was already complaining. She didn't even start climbing, and she's like, "Why are we doing this?" You know. So we happened to go at the same time. So we start, and these guys are in the front, walking all confident. Let's go. And this girl's kind of hanging in the back, just barely hanging on with the group, and she would give off smart comments once in a while, like, "Why are we even here?" You know, things like that. Well, we start climbing and climbing, and there's a lot of benches there. I think there's like four benches, but we get to the first bench, and they're starting to get tired. And I keep following them because they're kind of at the same pace as I am. And we go to the second bench. Now, here's where things get tough. That guy I was talking about that was all confident, his face was a little red. Those guys, and they start to sweat. And those words of confidence start to distinguish. And they stopped saying it. Instead, they're climbing like this, hanging in the back now. And these guys started stopped talking, but this girl started to complain more and more. Eventually, as we got to the third bench, they stopped for a long time, and I was ahead of them, and I happened to look back, and they stopped climbing. They went all the way down, and they're like, they gave up. Well, that's not the end of the story, though, because I kept climbing because, you know, I wanted to make it to the top. I kept climbing, and I happened to notice someone passed me up. Now, it was a Caucasian older male, and man, what stood out to me is how tan this guy was. He had his shirt off. He was really wrinkly. And he had these, like, short shorts on. But he was so tan. And he had, you know, I knew he was an older gentleman because he had some called, like, a tape player. Have you guys heard of that? But this guy passed me up. And actually, he was so tan. He was tanner than Mr. Joaquin and Mr. Robert put together. I couldn't even tell he was Caucasian. But, you know, step by step with his Walkman in, he was going steadily. And I started to get competitive. I tried to beat him. But, man, that guy was hard to keep up with. Eventually, as I almost hit the peak, that guy was already coming down. And I'm like, oh, that guy beat me. And I was competitive. But the whole point of the story is, as Christians, we have our walk of faith, but it definitely feels harder than a walk sometimes. It feels more like a climb. Today I'm going to talk about the Christian climb that we're all going through every day. Sometimes there's steep areas, sometimes there's easy areas, but really our goal is to make it to the top. You know, there's people that, just like those young people, start off great. Start off confident, but they get burned out. And that's sad to see. You know, what I want to see more and more of is like that tan old man. Step by step. He probably has been doing this for years and years. I can tell by his tan. But that's what we need to be as Christians. Amen? So, today I want to look in Deuteronomy. And because I believe it gives us instructions on how we can be just like that tan old man. So a little background. Deuteronomy is a restatement of the law found in Exodus, which is why it translates to the second law. Moses is talking to a new generation, and although the past generation failed, and couldn't enter the promised land. So he's reminding this new generation of the failures of the past. He's exhorting them for the present and then encouraging them for the promises for the future. So that's what Deuteronomy is all about. I love it because he's talking to that generation. He's hyping them up. But that leads to my first point. The Christian climb can only be achieved by you, not someone else. You notice how in verse 2 and 3, it says, "The Lord our God made a covenant in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today." So my question is, why didn't Moses put an emphasis on this? Moses put an emphasis by reminding the people that this covenant was for them, not just their parents. This covenant promised to deliver them from Egypt to the promised land. I believe he said this maybe because they were following just their parents, you know? So this new Israel was different in many ways. Whole different crowd. I teach the youth, and you guys are definitely different in the best of ways. It's like that. The new generation didn't know what it meant to go through the idolatry of Egypt. They didn't experience the deliverance from Egypt. Instead, they had been under Moses, wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? That doesn't sound fun. So some problems they had was they were prone to self-righteousness. They're prone to idolatry. And on top of that, they had a lot of family and social problems. It's sad. They watched as their parents wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, that's why Moses is reminding him. He's making a statement to start this off that, hey, this is your faith, not your parents'. So in high school, you know, I used to play tennis. I used to spend hours and hours on that court with my brother. I learned with my brother, and my grandpa taught us. And in high school, we were ranked one of the best doubles partner over there. And so far, we played 4 tournaments, and we won 4. But I'm just bragging. But there was a very special story that I remembered that my brother was, they decided to pair me up with someone else, and this guy had the loudest mouth, and he couldn't back any of it. And I felt like each game I had to carry him, and on top of that, he would talk to our rival teams and get them all riled up. And I'm like, oh no, they're going to try really hard against us. I have to carry it, like, so I don't have to back up what he said. But in the end, this guy, you know, how they give out all those trophies. In the end, this guy, the only trophy he got was the most improved player. And he didn't get trophies for what he said he thought he would get. How sad. Well, that's my point. Maybe we can be like this guy sometimes, you know? We try to take credit for things that is not us. Maybe there's people in here that are trying to carry someone else. Maybe there's people here that are being carried, people that they only go to church because their parents take them, you know? Or maybe you're trying to carry someone else. You can only train parents. You can only train kids to make the decision for themselves. And by this decision, I mean following Christ with all their heart. It's interesting to me. Psalm 127 says, children are like arrows. Now, making arrows is cool, but the goal of it is you have to sharpen the tip of it and make it, like, hit its place. And also, like, the shaft of it is basically, it has to be straight. So there's all these factors that go into making an arrow. My question is for you is, how are you sharpening the arrows around you? Not just your kids, but everyone around you. People in work, people here, anywhere. Are you walking in it? You know, are those people just like, you know, those little Nerf darts that just bounce off? No, that's useless. We need to be having the heart to sharpen these people, sharpening constantly so that they can hit their target. What if you ask, you know, what if my kid, you might ask, like, what if my kid isn't following the Lord? Let me tell you this. Don't focus on dragging them to Christ when you can only bring them to the feet of Christ. Focus on your walk, and they'll see that. I promise you. Amen. Amen. When, in my rebel days, let me just give you a testament, okay? In my rebel days, I was angry, and I had to make that choice to follow Christ. You know, I was angry because of pain and the support I felt that I needed left. But one thing that was for certain is that I couldn't shake my parents' testimony, my parents' example, and the people in the church. I couldn't shake that. Their testimony kept coming in my mind. And that was one of the things that prompted me to follow Christ with my whole heart. You know, I saw these people, and I saw that something in them was greater despite themselves. They might not be perfect, but something was at work. And when I was in pain, I told Jesus, God, that's what I want. So the Bible tells us that Caleb, great name, by the way, wholly followed the Lord, wholly followed the Lord. You know, notice he was part of the 12 spies, and only Caleb and Joshua were willing to take the land. But notice this. He wasn't worried on dragging all these other spies to fight. He was simply just focused on taking the Lord God promised. You know, we can be like the 12 spies. We're so, who can be just so focused on their fears that they lost sight of God's promise. You know, fear can always lead to forgetting the God that we serve. Fear can always lead to forgetting the God we serve. But guys, it's not too late. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Follow the Lord with your whole heart. God's promised you something. Are you going to go out and take it? So moving on, my second point is God prepares us to proceed to the next step in the Christian climb. I got my P's in there. God prepares us to proceed to the next step in the Christian climb. You know, even before the book of Deuteronomy, God prepared Moses to lead. He called Moses, who was a murderer and a coward, but God saw something in him. I don't know about you, but that sure gives me hope. But God saw some in Moses, and that's what blows my mind. Now, I've never bought a lotto ticket, but I heard on the news that there's like 1 point something billion lotto ticket in like Fremont. Am I correct? Right? 1.6 billion. Now, if someone knew that this lotto ticket would be at the 7-Eleven down the street, oh man, they would put all their money. Well, that's, in a sense, if you would, God's put all his money down for you because he sees some for you, in you. Jesus is what God has given us, his only son. And so that's what God saw in Moses. If God can use Moses, he can use us. And a beautiful thing is to see Moses take these lessons that he has learned to better this new generation of Israel. You know, sometimes regret can put us on pause. I know it has for me. Although Moses messed up, remember when he struck that rock? He used that for his advantage. And that's God preparing him. I believe that he has his eyes fixed on God's plan and not his past regrets. He messed up, but he's still writing this book and encouraging these people. It's cool to see Moses just recover from his past to be even more effective in the present. In the book of Deuteronomy, he's raising up a new generation. He mentions constantly not to be fearful. In fact, and to possess. He actually mentioned it so many times in the book of Deuteronomy. He mentions it 55 times to go out and just possess that land. Maybe in the back of Moses' mind, he was thinking of the mistake the first generation made. They were too fearful in conquering the land. So I believe he put this emphasis because he wanted the new generation to learn from the past. Throughout his life, God was preparing him and providing for him. So maybe you're already taking the step to possess. You've been climbing that climb. Maybe you've been climbing this Christian walk. At the mountain, well, remember this. God is preparing you and providing for you. But it's important to take that next step. Imagine this. If you had a trainer, he gave you a whole week of exercises to do. He gave you workout supplements, and you know, all you did was just eat the supplement and not work out. You know, and the result wouldn't be a really good one because you didn't work out. Let's work out what God has called us to, because he sees some in us, and he wants us to accomplish that. You know, like I said before, fear is always the enemy of faith. But one thing I know for sure is that the God I served in Cambodia in the missions trip when things were tough, the God I served here in Fremont, the God I served in Bible college, the God I served in the Philippines, he's a God that will not call us to a place where his power cannot sustain us. God will not call you to a place where his power cannot sustain you. Just think about it. When Moses was up there on Mount Sinai, he was up there for 40 days. Did he go 40 days without eating? I don't know, but he still came down glowing. At the mountain, how did Moses get those tablets? Like, I don't know. Did he just find them on the floor? I'm pretty sure God provided for him. That's just practical. Let's go up to that mountain. Don't be scared of that mountain, and God will provide for you. Now, lastly, the Christian climb burns away so that we can burn for him. The Christian climb burns away so that we can burn for him. Notice in verse 4, it says, "The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire." I thought that was interesting to me. This chapter just stuck out to me because of that phrase, "out of the midst of the fire." And, you know, I looked more into that fire, but that burning fire of God was the kind of fire that's used on the altar to sacrifice animals. And it's a fire that just consumes. When you put some on that altar, that fire just consumes it, and it's a form of their sacrifice. It was first used at Sodom, and then it was the same fire that Abraham used to sacrifice at the altar. You remember it said in Romans 12:1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now, following God is not easy. My question to you is, what are you willing to put on that altar? Are you willing to put your flesh? It's not easy climbing the Christian climb. It's not easy to put your flesh on that altar and have it consumed. It's not easy to hold that perfect comeback when that person at work is just like roasting you. It's not easy to not lose your cool when you're on, you know, 680 and it's just backed up with traffic. It's not easy to love that difficult person. It's not easy to change up your schedule to prevent burnout and all these other things. But God is a consuming fire. What we need to do is we need to love and follow God, but at the cost of our flesh. Love and follow God at the cost of our flesh. What are you willing to put on the altar? Are you willing to put everything that you are so that God can be magnified in you? So it's a beautiful thing, like when things are put through heat. I love food. I don't know if you guys can tell, but food is amazing. Like, sometimes my deepest moments of worship is when there's that meal prepared just in front of me, and I'm just like, "God, I love you so much. Oh, man, God is good." Anyways, I'm getting all riled up. One of my special snacks is something called Pop-Tarts. You guys heard of it? Yeah, okay, cool. But a very specific Pop-Tart. It's called the strawberry Pop-Tart. Now, if you like the Pop-Tarts that are cinnamon, boy, you better let me pray for you. Because strawberries, oh man, that's the best. But there's something very important to enjoying this tasty treat. A, open up that wrapper, that shiny wrapper. Crack that baby open. But you're not done there, okay? Because I hate it when it's like raw. Like, if it's not put in the toaster, it's just all crumbly and like, it feels like sawdust in my mouth. I always have to put it through that toaster oven. And for some reason, it's even more fun if I put it in those toaster ovens that goes like, boom. But you know what? That's us. We're Pop-Tarts. And sometimes God puts us through that fire, and the result is something delicious. Also, another one, is one of my new hobbies coming back is making steak, okay? And boy, like, steak is the best, but it has to be cooked right. I had some pretty bad steak and some pretty raw steak. That's kind of freaky to me. But something I learned about steak is you got to heat up that pan, that grill, to like a higher level. And you marinate the steak. You marinate it in that good stuff, that salt, those spices. And once that grill is nice and hot, you just slap on that steak. And what that does, it's a process called searing. And that process is, it burns the outsides. You burn the outsides so you keep all those juices in, whatever it was marinated. And yeah, I just want to point back to the text. I'm getting a little sidetracked. My mouth is watering a little bit. But so often, that's what God does with us. Am I right? He sears us on the outside, and he slow cooks us. But the result is something beautiful. God's fire is something beautiful. It might hurt, but man, it's beautiful. I think of Jacob in the Bible when he was wrestling with the Lord, wrestling all night, it said, until God touched his thigh and boop, his leg popped out of socket. Now, if I could just put myself in Jacob's shoes, I'd be like, man, that really, I lost that one and now I'm stuck with this broken leg. But God saw something bigger. God saw a bigger picture. And he saw that, and it all worked out in the end. But God wants to sear us. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in 35. And it says this: to you it was shown that you might know him, the Lord is God. There is no one other besides him. Out of heaven, he let you hear his voice that he might discipline you. And on earth, he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. That's a good verse. And, you know, don't shy away from that. Don't be afraid of that fire that you're just standing over there. Instead, be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in the fire. And in that fire, Jesus was speaking to them. One thing I learned coming from Bible college is I used a lot of Christianese. If you don't know what Christianese is, it's kind of like words Christians say, like, God bless you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the way I used it almost was like hard for people to understand. It was like almost like a filler for a sentence sometimes. I say dude a lot. So it was hard for me to cut that out in this sermon, but it was like a filler, you know? I realized when I was talking to my Bible college friend, it's funny how bad things look worse on other people, but I realized this when I was talking to my Bible college friend. He kept saying, like, you know, he was calling me up for some advice, but he kept saying the Lord was guiding him and teaching him so many lessons and sanctifying him, and that he was going through a trial, feeling attacked by Satan, struggling with his flesh. And he used so many of these terms that I kind of just had to say, hey, okay, what's really happening, bro? I kind of got, you know, impatient. But he was just kind of generalizing it without actually saying it. I just, you know, because we were friends, I told him to just cut it and explain what really happened. And really, that's how we are sometimes with God. We go around the subject and we say these things, but God wants to get to your heart. And God wants all of you, minus all that other stuff. There's nothing more beautiful than the unfiltered worship and cry of the Christian in the midst of a fiery trial. There's nothing more beautiful. I think of myself. There's moments that were definitely hard, but it was just so real because all that other stuff I was burning. And I remember praying to the Lord and hurting so bad that it was a cry. I had to remind myself, God, you said you would do this. You said you would be here. So God, where are you? And, you know, I wonder, sometimes I catch myself praying. And I'm like using these Christianese words. You know, I wonder if God cares. You know, I believe God just really wants to talk to us face to face. And sometimes it takes climbing that mountain. But there's nothing more beautiful than just that unfiltered worship and cry of the Christian in the midst of the fiery trial. And just one more verse I have is Isaiah 33:14. And you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read this. It says this: the sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? Now, this passage is great, but kind of ends on a somber note. It says, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. You know, some of you guys are going through that mountain today. You've been climbing that mountain. Some might be, you know, going through kind of a straight area at the moment. Some of you are going through a really steep area where your thighs are just burning and you know, spiritually it's hard and there's all these situations going on. Well, take heart, guys. God is with us through every single step. Let's be like that old man taking that step by step, going consistently with that tape player. And I just want to, I remind my youth kids, I always tell them this. Actually, I only told them once. But anyways, come to think of it. But if you're going through a hard time, be this. Be a cactus. And let me explain that. Because a cactus, its environment is in a very dry place. But yet it has this water and it's stored up. It has these thorns to fend off predators, and they, in the end, they even produce fruit and flowers, and that's awesome. I like cactuses a little more, but let's all be cactuses. Let's store that word, that water in us. Even when it's dry, we can hold on to these truths. Let's have those thorns to fend off those predators, and in the end, God's going to create in us something beautiful. And so, dear Lord, I just want to pray just for everyone here. If there's something going on in their hearts, if they've been climbing this Christian climb and they feel, I don't know, discouraged and feel like everything around them's getting tough, Lord, remind us that, God, you prepare us even before. And Lord, you want a relationship with us personally. And sometimes it takes that fire to sear us and burn us, but the result is something beautiful. So, Lord, we want to humbly accept that and say, God, have your way in us. Lord, teach me to be more like you. I want to be holy just like you. We love you, Lord, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. So this is